So just in case you haven't been following and you're not, before we read the translation, I just thought I'd give the context so that you understand what this verse is actually talking about in the first place. So Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu has taken sannyas and he's at Jagannath Puri. And then he decides he wants to go on a preaching tour South India. So, with great sadness, all the devotees finally let the Lord go. And one servant goes with him, Krishna Das. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu travels all the way down. Wherever he goes, he inspires, so he would go to different villages. And he would inspire the people there to chant. And then those people would get so inspired, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, they would get bhakti shakti. So with this bhakti shakti, then they would go to their own village and then they would do the same there. They would inspire others there. And then those people from that village would then go to other villages. So in this way, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, his influence spread all over. So he was traveling like this. And then he came to a village called Kurmastan, a place where the deity of Lord Kurmadev is there. So we heard about that a few weeks back. Ramanuja Acharya, the great teacher, he established the deity there. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to this other village where there was a Brahmin there called Kurma. It's a Kurma Brahmin. So the previous verse, he was begging after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed with him. He was so inspired, he was so happy. Imagine a great sannyasi comes to your place and they stay and you just get so inspired and so enthusiastic about Krishna consciousness. Then this Kurma Brahman, he actually said that, my dear Lord, kindly show me favor and let me go with you. I can no longer tolerate the waves of misery caused by material life. So that was a previous verse. So this is what he said. He's saying to, begging Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please can I go with you? Right? Sannyasi comes to your house. And you want to leave your family and go off with that sannyasi. Anybody ever felt like that? Don't raise your hand. So what does Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reply? So this is a translation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Don't speak like that again. Better to remain at home and chant the holy name of Krishna always." Purport by Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki. It is not advisable in this age of Kali to leave one's family suddenly, for people are not trained as proper brahmacharis and grihastas. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised the Brahmin not to be too eager to give up family life. It would be better to remain with his family and try to become purified by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra regularly under the direction of a spiritual master. This is the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If this principle is followed by everyone, there is no need to accept sannyas. In the next verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advises everyone to become an ideal householder by offenselessly chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and teaching the same principle to everyone he meets. So Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu was not impressed with the Kurma Brahmin's enthusiasm to leave home and to go traveling with him. So, I wanted to raise some questions here. When I first read this verse, this reminded me of an incident that happened in the Birmingham congregation. We had one member who was about 45 years old. And he came to the temple of devotees, and he was saying how he wanted to leave his family. He had a wife who was working part-time and two young daughters. So one was like 3 years old, one was 6 years old. And he came with this idea that I want to leave my family. So we asked, like, what's going on? Like, what's the problem? So he said, all day long at work, he worked at a train station as a ticket master. And it was a very quiet train station. So all day long, guess what he was doing? Just reading Srimad Bhagavatam. All day long, he was just reading Srimad Bhagavatam like this. You can imagine 8 hours a day, practically. Just occasionally, he has to give a ticket. But otherwise, he was just totally absorbed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And we thought, you've got such a great life. What on earth are you talking about? You want to leave your family? He said, no, no, after reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, I feel like I want to just give up everything. You know, oh, this is the real reason. Life is so hard at home. So when I'm at work, I'm just reading Srimad Bhagavatam, so peaceful, so nice, it's just wonderful, you know, absorbed in this spiritual teachings. And then he's giving so many excuses. So the question is that the right thing for him to do, to leave home? So it's kind of similar to the Kurma Brahman, except the difference between, let's call this person from the congregation, let's call him Mr. V, to protect his identity. So Mr. V, he wants to escape his family life. Sorry, his family life is he has a lot of suffering, therefore he wants to leave. In the Kurma Brahman's case, he actually had a very nice life, very nice, like he was wealthy, it says, Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, in the previous purport, that actually he had a very nice life, materially. And he wanted to leave. So whatever their material says, so one was enjoying their life, one had a nice materialistic life, one didn't have such a nice material life, but both wanted to do the same thing, similar situation. So the question is, what is the right thing to do there? What's the right answer for him? First question. The second question is, what famous scripture has a similar problem? What famous scripture is there where the person wants to leave his duties and wants to become a sannyas? That scripture is the Bhagavad Gita. Right? So Arjuna says the same thing to Krishna. Oh, better just to become a sannyasi than fight on this battlefield and kill my relatives. So he had a slightly different problem, but same principle. Again, what is the right thing to do for Arjuna? Number two, different situation. Question number three is, on the other hand, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did exactly what the Kurma Brahman wants to do. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had an elderly mother dependent on him, had a wife, young wife, dependent on him, and he left them. Yet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling this Kurma Brahman, no, 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 you stay home, chant Hare Krishna. So why is that right? Why is it right that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can go take sannyas and not for all these other people? Right? Let's try to answer that in half an hour. So as part of this kind of, this is looking at what is the purpose of your ashram? What is the purpose of the ashram? Because if you look at these situations, Arjuna wanted to go from grihastha to sannyas. Kurma Brahman, this Mr. V, they wanted to basically take sannyas. Leave the grihastha ashram and take sannyas. So for some of you, especially in this audience, some of you might be asking the question, as brahmacharis, you might be asking the question, should I or should I not get married? That's often a question that's there for those who are brahmacharis in the ashram. And Srila Prabhupada says, he makes this statement, that all ladies should get married, but he wants all the men to stay brahmachari. You may have read this statement. I laughed when I remember reading this on the train on the way to university when reading this. I was laughing on the train. Like, how on earth is that going to work? All the ladies get married, all the men stay brahmachari. This is the general mood. So to answer these three questions that are raised, and also to answer what is the right ashram, let's do a little bit of an exercise. Does this cable go? Could somebody turn the board around? If you could just bring the cable so I can walk. So here's one I prepared earlier. So what I thought was, thank you. Hare Krishna. Sorry. Move back so people can see. Okay. Can everybody see the board? Yep. Can you see the board over that side? Yeah. You might need to move. I'll try to move it so you can see. So to answer these questions, to understand what is going on here, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying no to this Kurma Brahman. And no, you don't change your ashram in this case. Let's look at it in terms of the modes of material nature, because this will help. And what I'm going to do here, hopefully, will give you a template, in one sense, by which you can live your life, whether you're brahmachari, whether you're grihastha, whether you're vanaprastha, whether you're sannyas. The principles, in one sense, are the same. So, let's start from here. What does I stand for? Ignorance. Keep going. Passion. Goodness. And transcendence. Okay, so beyond the three modes. So, if we were to describe each of these modes and transcendence in one word, so there's different perspectives. Krishna gives one perspective. His Holiness Shivaram Swami has done a whole lecture series on the three modes of material nature, and he gave one. So I'm just going to give you a different perspective. It's a very simplified perspective, but the idea is it's to give you an idea of what to do, what it is that you need to do in your personal circumstance. And I'll also say that although we're kind of defining the modes as they are, I'll put a kind of caveat, the deeper understanding is, of course, it's mixed. So it's not that somebody only has this, or somebody only has this, or whatever, like that. It's always going to be mixed. Everybody has bits of both. One mode is generally more prominent than another. That. So in one word, this is the perspective I want to go just to help us answer this question about the which ashram. So in one word, ignorance, we can describe it as destructive. The mode of passion, we can describe it as, word beginning with S. Any guesses? Selfish. The mode of goodness, beginning with S, any guesses? Selfless, yes. And I'm going to take poetic license. I said one word, but I'm going to put a hyphen here, so it's still one word. Krishna-centered. So the idea of this is, if you look, who's in the center? Who do we care about? In the mode of ignorance, who do we care about? Who's in the center? Who's in the center? No one. No one. Exactly. It's destructive. Neither do we care about ourselves, neither do we care about anyone else. If we look at the mode of passion, who's in the center? Us, me. So at least that's still better than the mode of ignorance. Understand that. At least I'm caring about myself. That's still better than the mode of ignorance. Somebody, you know, sorry to use this example, but somebody who decides he wants to blow up a plane. Right? Goes on the plane, you know, bombs it. He dies, the plane dies. It's not good for anybody. It's horrible. So at least the mode of passion is, you know, a person's still self-centered, but at least they're looking after themselves. Mode of goodness? Others. Okay, here's where many devotees don't realize. You've seen that. And me. Because, what did you say? Because you take care of yourself too. Now this and me bit, is often misunderstood by devotees. Mode of goodness means, yes, serve others, serve others, serve others, serve others. And what happens to you? That's misunderstood. There's a expression. Loving yourself is not vanity, it's sanity. I'll say it again. Loving yourself is not vanity, it's sanity. People think that if I take care of myself, that's vanity. I mean, if I look after myself, that's vanity. But no, it's sanity. If you do it for this purpose. So let me explain it. when we look after ourselves so that we can serve others nicely, that is the correct way. If you are sleep deprived, if you have no energy, if you don't love yourself, then how are you supposed to give to others? Correct? How are you supposed to give to others? If there's nothing in the tank, how are you supposed to give to others? And I realized this in my Krishna consciousness because there's one point in my life where I was just preaching, and I got to the point where I was totally burnt out. How many of you have had that experience? Right? Totally burnt out. Well, that's when I realized, like, this is what I was saying earlier, it's mixed. It's actually goodness plus mixed modes. Goodness plus ignorance. The goodness is let me serve others. The ignorance is forget myself. That's why it's... So goodness actually means looking after others and yourself. And the purpose of looking after myself is so that I can serve others nicely. As best as possible. It's a disservice if I lack sleep and all the rest of it and I can't say, you know, I'm driving the car to go on book distribution, I'm half falling asleep, I'm going to kill the devotees in my car. That's a disservice. Right? I've heard stories in the past, you know, devotees on book distribution not having enough sleep and he crashed the van, the book distribution van. Well, that's not a service. In the name of preaching, you know, as much books as possible. Right? So it's about being more aware, being more intelligent. So others and me. And of course then who's in the center? With Krishna? Krishna? And others? And? Now, when we're in transcendence, me is not so important. When we get to level transcendence, me is, then it becomes root because we're getting that love directly from Krishna. But up until then, up until receiving that love direct from Krishna, we have to look after ourselves. Narad Muni, you know, Narayana is going around the universe. He's not thinking, where's my next meal going to come from? And he doesn't need to worry. Krishna's taking care of everything. So, but we have to admit, we have to understand, what level am I on? Don't try to jump to transcendence. In the early days of Pandava Sena, we used to see all these great heroes, you know, His Holiness Shivaram Swami, Tribhuvanath Prabhu, all these great, for us, they'd be our heroes. And we had this term called PDS. Anybody heard of it? Pure Devotee Syndrome. So we would see that they're like this and they're doing this, and we would want to be, so we would artificially try to jump to transcendence. And anybody had the experience of trying to do that? So what happens is you jump up and you fall hard. That's what happens. That's how you know it's a syndrome. You're not a pure devotee yet. So one of the key things to understand is be honest with where you are. So this is part of your answer to how do we explain to Mr. V and Mr. Kurma Brahman not to just jump into sannyas? That's part of the answer. Think about that. Okay. So in terms of knowledge, so this I was looking at more in terms of the purpose of knowledge. So in a mode of ignorance, what would you say about knowledge? And think about the word itself. Very good. You guys are intelligent. Right, so no knowledge. Or what did Ravan do? Ravan had plenty of knowledge. Yeah, so what did he use it for? Yes, or used for destruction. So either somebody lacks knowledge or they're using that knowledge in a bad way, in using that knowledge for destruction. What about mode of passion? Any ideas? So what's that knowledge used for? sense gratification. Yeah. That's the main reason for the knowledge. So that they can improve their sense gratification ultimately, or their ego, etc. And goodness? Yes, exactly. It's to serve and benefit others. So it's for the upliftment of others. So we gain knowledge, so that way we can help ourselves. Sorry, others and. Don't forget, and me. Right? So we better ourselves. You know, it's like, what is an acharya? An acharya is somebody who preaches by their own example. So anybody can get up on a stage like this. I'm talking about myself here. Anybody can get up on a stage like this and talk about it. It's easy to talk about it. But who's actually doing it? Who's actually talking about it and doing it? So I was thinking about this, and anybody who's a coach or a guru, the real power of somebody, of a, especially like a guru, the real power, or somebody who's like an influencer, somebody like our Jay Shetty, you know, is a real big influencer. So the real power of an influencer, a guru, a coach, etc., is are they first of all, able to influence themselves? They're teaching one, the guru's teaching one thing, but is he able to do it himself? Is he able to influence himself to be able to do it himself? So as we practice that, it's not just we learn to serve and benefit others, we also learn to serve us, we also learn, acquire knowledge to also better our own life. Then we can teach others. For me to stand up here and say, yes, we should all chant 16 rounds a day, but if I'm not doing it, there's not so much potency. Okay, so to serve others and serve ourselves. And then finally, transcendence. So the knowledge is for everything related to Krishna. We learn everything, so it helps us in our Krishna consciousness. Okay, so how do we go from this to this? What's the process of going up the ladder? Say again. By hearing and chanting. Chanting we'll talk about here, but hearing, yes. And Srimad Bhagavatam especially, so I'll put it here. The Srimad Bhagavatam especially, out of all the scriptures, so the scriptures allow us to rise up. Some scriptures are there that get us out of ignorance to sense gratification. Some scriptures they're saying, like Karmakanda type stuff, listen, you people in ignorance, if you do this, God will give you this. Ooh, that sounds good. If you put £10 in the donation box, you'll get 100. Good deal? Good investment? Right? If you put £100 in the donation box, you'll get £1,000. Good investment? Sounds good to me. Right? So there's some scriptures that talk like that, which help people to rise to the mode of passion. At least now they're engaging in a relationship with the Lord. Whereas before, they weren't doing anything. But then to go beyond that, ultimately Srimad Bhagavatam helps us to come to the platform. All these religions are cheating religions. Let's get to the platform of pure devotional service. So we go to the Lord not to pick his pockets, we go to the Lord to fill his pockets. What can I do for you, Radha Gokulananda? Not what are you going to do for me? But gradually we rise to that platform. Okay, and then we have responsibility. Actually, let me talk about, before I talk about responsibility, let me talk about this one. Being Krishna-centered, this is actually, in one sense, the goal. This column here, whatever ashram you're in, the idea is that ashram should be helping us to rise up rise up, rise up, to the point where Krishna is in the center of our lives. So, who's had the experience of chanting? And you may even have done 16 rounds of chanting, but you haven't thought of Krishna even once. Who's had that experience, right? Right? A lot of us. I'm glad I'm not the only one in the room. I remember once, I remember once having the experience where, I don't know, I was having an issue with one devotee. And I was just ruminating in my mind, chewing over. Have you ever had that experience where you're just like, you're really angry at somebody. And it's like, why did they do that? Why did they say that? So 16 rounds, Hare Krishna, I was thinking, this is what I'm going to say to him. This is what, you know, and he's going to say this back to me, and then I'm going to say that back to him. Ever had that experience? Back and forth, back and forth. 16 rounds later, when I got to the last bead, I was like, oh, I'm so sorry, Krishna. I didn't think of you once. So although I'm chanting, what mode is it in? Totally ignorance. Not good for me, not good for Krishna, not good for that other devotee. Total ignorance. So here I'm doing a so-called devotional service, but what mode am I doing it under? How many people have the experience you're chanting and you're thinking about prasad? Or you're thinking about something you're going to do. Me, 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 me. Mine, 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 mine. Right? Mode of? Mode of passion. Okay, you're chanting, but you're thinking about, you know, you're thinking about something for others. What service am I going to do for somebody else? Okay, that's still, that's goodness. That's good. But what do we need to be thinking about? What do we need to be thinking about? Krishna. How many rounds are we actually thinking about Krishna? And this is the whole point. The whole point is to try to start bringing Krishna into the center. At the moment, it probably is us. Like most people in the modes of passion and ignorance. It's us. We're always thinking about us. So how do we get Krishna in the center? That's the goal. So we need to look at what ashram will help us, will allow us to progress so that ultimately we can bring Krishna into the center. And His Grace Buddha Bhavana Prabhu was speaking a few weeks back, and he was talking about understanding Krishna's personality. Do you remember that class? So he was talking about, we have to know Krishna as he is. How many of us worship Krishna because he's God? It's a rhetorical question, so you don't have to raise your hand, sorry. How many of us worship Krishna because he's God? All of us. How many of us worship Krishna because he's Krishna? There's a difference. How many of us worship Krishna because he's God? How many of us worship Krishna because he's Krishna? The Brajabasis, the residents of Vrindavan, they don't worship, they don't love Krishna because he's God. They don't care he's God. They love Krishna in spite of him being God. They love Krishna because he's Krishna. That's the mood we need to cultivate. So to cultivate that mood means we need to understand his personality. What does he do? What does he like? This whole daily program that we have is based on Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. You know, he gets up at this time, he eats, does this, does that, etc. Let's get to know Krishna's personality. One devotee was saying once, it's a really good idea. It's like, when you look at your watch and you look at the time, think, what's Krishna up to in Vrindavan at this time? Ooh. Right? So it's 12 o'clock, you think, oh, Krishna's having lunch with the coward boys. It's 8 o'clock at night. Oh, Krishna's getting ready to, maybe he's having his evening bath. In that way, we are starting to become Krishna-centered. We're starting to put Krishna. When we're chanting Hare Krishna, who are we thinking about? We're actually thinking about Krishna. When the residents of Vrindavan are talking or doing kirtan, you know, talking about Krishna, they're not then their mind isn't wandering. They're actually thinking about Krishna while talking about Krishna, while chanting his holy names. That is Krishna-centered. So the idea is, whichever ashram you're in, that helps you to rise up to the point of being Krishna-centered, that is the best ashram. The ashram is like the playing field. The goal is Krishna Prem. The goal is to put Krishna in the center. So which path, which battleground, which playing field is best suited for you to be able to reach Krishna, to be Krishna-centered? That's how you answer. Ultimately, that's how you answer which ashram is best for you. So let's just do responsibilities. Symptoms we'll leave out. Let's do responsibilities, because that will help us answer the three questions we had at the beginning. So in the mode of ignorance, what are we responsible for? Nothing, right? Irresponsible. Or we want zero responsibility as much as possible. This is also known as, sometimes devotees are criticized for being escapists. You people, you know, this is often the case in Prabhupada's time. The devotees would go to the airports, they were giving out book distribution, and people would challenge them. What are you doing? What are you doing for society? You just people just living off charity, like this, just eating and sleeping, doing nothing, escaping life. Work hard. Get in the world, earn some money. By that, I think we're escapist beings, being in the spiritual life. So this is mode of ignorance. What about responsibility in the mode of passion? What is it related to? Me and mine. So mode of passion, I'm responsible. Something is connected to me, I'm there. Something's not connected, forget it. Mode of goodness, what are we responsible for? The planet. So many people are turning vegan. Why? Because they care about the planet. Recycling. They're really big on recycling because they care about the planet. The community. The family. And me, yes. And in transcendence, especially in the Krishna consciousness movement, what are we responsible for? What do you mean by Krishna? So Krishna's service and? Yep, paraphernalia, everything like that. Krishna's service. But in general, the Krishna consciousness movement, what are we responsible for? Devotees, yes. But even bigger than that, the mission, yes, the preaching mission. So as a grihastha, or as a brahmachari, or as a vanaprastha, or as a sannyasi, what is your responsibility? And when we see the Brahman Kurma, let's take our Mr. V example. Which, although he's saying, I want to be, like, join the temple and be totally Krishna conscious like this, I want to give it. What mode is he actually in? Nope. Why? It's a mode of ignorance. Why? Because he wants to shirk his responsibility. Oh, being with my wife is hard. Looking after these kids is hard. Oh, okay, forget it. Let me just go. You know, I'm reading all these wonderful things. You know, you be a devotee and live in the temple. Yeah, let me just shirk my responsibility. And what is Arjun saying that, I don't want to kill my relatives. I want to leave the battlefield and I'm going to go off and become a sannyasi. What mode is Arjun in? Ignorance. Why? Why? Shirking responsibility, yeah. Same thing. Now, Okay, and the same with the Kurma. The Kurma Brahman also, and Mr. V also, and actually Arjun actually, if you look at knowledge, what does Srila Prabhupada say in the purport? He says, it is not advisable in this age of Kali to leave one's family suddenly, for people are not trained as proper brahmacharis and grihasthas. Interestingly there, he says, grihasthas. Hang on, Kurma Brahman already is a grihastha. So why does Prabhupada say that? So let's just take the example of a brahmachari. Somebody who joins the ashram, talk to me about knowledge. Somebody who just says, right, I'm going to join the ashram, giving away all my possessions, I'm giving my car away, house away, I'm just going to join the ashram. A single person, no other like family responsibility. I want to join the ashram. What do we say to such a person? Whoa, 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 whoa. What do we say to them? Slow down. Why? What's required? Training is required. Do you know what it's going to be like if you join the ashram? This Kurma Brahman met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's so happy, so like, oh, it's so nice being in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Let me go be his servant. Does he have a clue what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life is going to be like? What it's going to be like serving him? He's going to be traveling in the forest jungles, mosquitoes, you know, there's no nice toilets like he has in his house. There's no food, cooked food that will come, you know, 3, 4, 5 times a day. Just to eat whatever you get on the side of it. Does he have any idea? But he's just saying, oh, let me just join you, Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Don't ever say that again. Chastises him, actually. What does he say? Don't speak like that again. It's heavy. Better you stay at home, you chant Hare Krishna, you perfect your life by chanting Hare Krishna at home. Because this is in ignorance. Same with Mr. V. He thinks he can just give up his family and just join the ashram. It'll be great. He has no idea what it's like to be in the ashram. Ask the people who live in the ashram. Getting up every day, what is it? 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock sometimes. Right? It's not easy. Every single day. Who's the ashram leader? Not here. Is it Paramakaruna? Yeah. Paramakaruna is there like cracking the whip. So as a brahmachari, you might think, oh yeah, let me join the ashram because then there's no responsibility. I don't have a family. I don't have wife, kids, this, that, and the other. Is that the right consciousness to have? No. Srila Prabhupada says that. He says, we do not want our brahmacharis, we do not want our temple devotees just to be absorbed in eating and sleeping. Because this is what goes on in some of the Gaudiya Mutts in India like that. The temple resident devotees, they wait the deities all day long. They're just like giving charanamrita, that's it. You know, and then sleeping, getting some prasad, and that's it. Easy life. That is not what a brahmachari is supposed to be doing. So look at this line here. What is your responsibility in the movement? And the more responsibility you are, of course within your capacity, but the more responsibility you're able to take, that's how you rise up. Now it's so amazing, our brahmachari, what's his name? Doya Moore, is now the brahmachari's temple president of Surrey Street, ISKCON London. Amazing, right? Taking more responsibility for Srila Prabhupada. That's wonderful. As a brahmachari. So, again, looking at what responsibility are you taking? So, whether you're a grihastha, whether you're a brahmachari, sannyasi, vanaprastha, what responsibility are you taking for the movement? Now, how do we answer? So, from this taking responsibility, how do we answer? Why is it okay for Lord Chaitanya to take sannyas? It seems almost hypocritical. It seems almost contradictory. He's saying to Kurma Brahman, no, you don't leave your family. You don't come with me and take sannyas. But then Lord Chaitanya did that. But what's the difference? Say again. It was not, him leaving was not about escaping the miseries, correct? He wanted to embrace misery. So in other words, why was he doing it? What was the responsibility? For the preaching mission. By Lord Chaitanya taking sannyas, his influence spread so much more. That is the reason why. There's a huge difference. That then, looking at this, this then explains why is it Lord Chaitanya took sannyas. He went to Jagannath Puri. Immediately, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the head priest of Jagannath Puri temple, who was a Mayavadi, immediately gave him attention. Oh, he's a sannyasi, such a young sannyasi, he's going to fall down. Let me speak to him for 7 days and seven nights, like speaking Vedanta Sutra. So he got his attention. Lord Chaitanya converted him into Vaishnavism. From being one of the top Mayavadi philosophers to now practicing bhakti. He went to South India. So many people attracted to him, including the Mayavadi sannyasis. Lord Chaitanya sat where they washed the feet. He sat in that place. And all the sannyasis came, they took him, sat him in the middle. He showed them his effulgence. They were convinced, wow, this is the Supreme Lord. But he couldn't have done that as a grihastha. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached to all the top people. And who did he leave the preaching for the masses to? So Lord Chaitanya, generally speaking, he didn't preach to the masses so much. Yes, when he went traveling to South India, he empowered people with bhakti shakti and then they would go and preach like that. But he generally didn't preach directly to the masses. Who did that? Not in Lord Chaitanya's time. Not in Lord Chaitanya's time. Who actually preached to the masses? Nityananda, yes. Nityananda was the one going door to door. Shuna shuna Nityananda, shuna shuna Haridas. Lord Chaitanya is calling Haridas Nityananda. Listen, go preaching door to door. Go preach this message of Krishna consciousness. Door to door. So it was Nityananda who was doing that. In fact, Nityananda, he asked Nityananda to get married. Did you know that? You'll know that, right? Do you know the story of how Nityananda got married? So Nityananda, he's an avadut. So he's like a transcendental madman. I might need it again though. Thank you. So Nityananda is a transcendental madman, avadut. So he would do so many crazy things. But Lord Chaitanya said, listen, calm your craziness down. I need you to preach. Go back. So Lord Chaitanya's in Jagannath Puri. And Nityananda's there with him every day. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, who's going to do the preaching in West Bengal? We've started the Sankirtan movement, but who's going to continue it? Who's going to look after and propagate Krishna consciousness back in West Bengal? So he sent Nityananda. So Nityananda went with a few devotees and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically told him, get married. Why? Okay, to set the example. By getting married, what happens to Nityananda's responsibility? All of a sudden he has responsibility, so he calms down his avadut status. As an avadut status, right, he's very, very wild. But after getting married, then he's focusing on the preaching. Like this. So Nityananda then goes to the house of Suryadas. Not Hare Pandit. Hare Pandit is his father. He goes to the house of Suryadas. I think that's his name. Suryadas Pandit. And he knocks on, and the servant is there, he goes and tells Nityananda's here. So Suryadas Pandit comes like, oh my Nityananda, he knows he's the Supreme Lord. And Nityananda says to Suryadas, I want to marry your daughter. And Suryadas Pandit, even though he knows he's the Supreme Lord, influenced by the illusory potency, he tells Nityananda, But we're Brahmins. We're of the highest order. What caste are you? You're some avadut. We don't know which caste you belong to, etc. I don't know if I can give my daughter in marriage to you. So like this, Nityananda goes away. And he's thinking, but I want to give my daughter, I want to have him as my son-in-law. What on earth is going on? Why did I say that? So Janava, who's his daughter, when she hears that Nityananda's there, she's been meditating on when I'm going to get married to Nityananda. She actually collapses. And it's explained that her eyeballs went up into her socket. So you can imagine it's just totally white. Like this. She just collapses, practically lifeless. The physician came. He diagnosed her and said, look, I don't know how long she's got left to live. Like, you may as well start the funeral rites. She's gone. I've given her the medicine. I've tried to do my best. That's it. So they brought her out into the front courtyard. They were crying like, oh my. Then one person, Gauri Das, he said, this must be an offense. This must be because of the offense to Nityananda. Let's go call Nityananda. So they went. Nityananda was sitting there just chanting Krishna, Krishna, crying tears of ecstasy. So they all went and apologized. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. Please, yes, we want you to marry Janava. So as soon as the Lord went there, as soon as Nityananda went there, just by the fragrance from his body, went into the nostrils of Janava, and she came back alive, came back to consciousness. Like they thought she was dead. They actually put a white cloth over her, thinking that she's dead. It's like she came back to life. And everybody was very happy. Now that time, Lord Nityananda actually showed a six-armed form, similar to this Sadbuj. So two arms holding bow and an arrow, two arms holding two arms holding a plow and a stick, and then two arms holding a water pot, and found the other one, and one other thing. Sannyas, danda, yes, like that. They showed like this. Everybody saw the Supreme Lord. They bowed. They were so happy. So in this way, there was a big wedding ceremony, and because Nityananda is Balaram, we know he has how many wives? He has two wives. Who are they? So the famous one, the one everyone knows, is Revati. Who's the other one? Who? Varuni, yes. So Janava, so Nityananda marries Janava. That's one wife. So one day, Janava's younger sister, anybody know her name? Vasudha, yes. So Vasudha was serving, so they just had the big, they had marriage ceremony, and a few days later, Nityananda was still staying there. And as always, they would serve prasadam. So one day, imagine this, Vasudha was serving Lord Nityananda, so one hand holding the pot, one hand holding the serving spoon. So she's serving, and her sari, her pallu, starts to go down. So what does she do? Because she's still serving Nityananda, she manifests two more hands and pulled the pallu back up. So Nityananda saw this. He grabbed her. He grabbed her wrist and he said, I'm marrying you too. This was his other wife. So then he told Suryadas that I want some dowry, and I want Vasudha as a dowry. So everybody was very happy. So Nityananda was there with his two wives. Janava Mata and Vasudha. And interestingly, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that as Balaram, you didn't have any family. Like, you didn't start any family. In the Yadu dynasty, Balaram didn't have any children. But as Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you get married, I will come, I will appear in your family. So the son of Vasudha, his name was? Anybody know? Virachandra. Virachandra. And Virachandra is incarnation of Mahaprabhu. So anybody who didn't see Mahaprabhu, they didn't get to see Mahaprabhu, they saw him through Virachandra. Wonderful. And then Lord Nityananda actually has a line that's still there today. Nityananda Gosais, the Goswamis, in the line of Nityananda. But it's like this, even Lord Nityananda got married because that would help the preaching mission. Stayed in one place. He started the marketplace of the holy name, a place called Kadadahar, like that. So he was distributing the holy name in this place to one and all, and continue the preaching mission on behalf of Lord Chaitanya. Shishi Gonitai Ki. So I'll stop there. We have 5 minutes for any comments or questions, any corrections. Yes, bro.
Got 2 points.
2 points.
In Jeva Dharma, it says, Bhaktivinoda Thakur comments that a grihastha should not give up his family until he got taste for the holy name. Otherwise, if he renounces, he's not got taste for the holy name, he'll fall down. Mm. And the second point is, Prabhupada said in one of his lectures, whether you're grihastha, brahmachari, or sannyasi, main thing is to make friends with Krishna. That's the goal. So as a grihastha, you can do it on a small scale. And as a brahmachari sannyasi, you can do it on a bigger scale.
Yes. For the main things, whatever ashram you're in, make friends with Krishna.
Make friends with Krishna.
Nice. Thank you, Prabhu.
I had a question, Prabhu. Thank you so much for the class and the illustration. It was amazing. You made the point, a very powerful, striking point, obviously, about how many of us love Krishna because he's God and how many are loving Krishna because he's Krishna. And I was just thinking that, you know, for maybe I can speak for myself, that the way Krishna has chosen to manifest to me, in one sense, has been through the devotees. And so I'm gaining more validity that Krishna's real, that he has this relationship with me through how he's manifesting through different devotees. And so it's through these persons that I'm actually having faith in the Lord. And, you know, sorry to say, not yet with the vision that actually on the altar that is the Supreme Lord. Obviously, Siddhanta wise, we get that. And so my question is, how can I develop this icha for Krishna directly when I'm getting the validity from the devotees? And is it wrong for me, or does it limit me that I'm still begging for these relationships with the devotees which are giving me this faith, rather than actually saying, no, Krishna, I want you directly. Like, how can I understand, you know?
Very nice question, thank you. So you're asking about, so you're getting validity that of Krishna from the devotees rather than directly from Krishna. So that is actually the mood even of pure devotees. If you look at many of the prayers of the pure devotees, when the Lord asks, whatever form the Lord is in, whether it's Nrisingadeva, whether it's Lord Chaitanya, whether it's Radharani asking Nanda Baba, when the Lord asks the devotee, what do you want? You'll notice a common theme, and that they always ask for the association of devotees. So there's one example from Gopal Champu. And Radharani, this is the chapter where Radharani marries Krishna. And in the first part of that story, Radharani comes to Nanda Baba, Nanda Maharaj. And Nanda Baba offers these wonderful prayers. And she's so pleased with Nanda Maharaj. She says, ask me anything. It's so difficult even to see me. But you're such an elevated soul. Please ask me for anything. You know what he asked for? Give me the association of devotees. So association of devotees is always, even though the Lord is directly there, when Radharani Krishna is holding Krishna in his arms, he still asks for the association of it. That's how important it is. Yes, because you're right, the love of Krishna does come through the devotees. But of course, we also want to develop, we want to develop a personal and direct relationship with the Lord as well. So it's not just that we serve the devotees, we also need to have that love for Krishna, because ultimately that's the goal. So you have to develop that directly alongside that. So why do we have the association of devotees? Because who do the devotees talk about? Krishna. We're all constantly talking about Krishna. As soon as the residents of Vrindavan go anywhere, their only subject matter is Krishna. Krishna did this, Krishna ate this, you know, what is he wearing today? You come to, it's like, what is Krishna wearing today? So when we go away, somebody asks you, what was Krishna wearing today? What's Radha Gokulananda? What color are they wearing today? Like, actually, I don't know. But let's look with a bit more detail. Developing that relationship. Actually, like I was saying, actually wanting to know Krishna. As you look at the time, it's like, what's Krishna up to right now? 8:44. What is he doing right now? So starting to develop a personal, a direct relationship as well with his understanding his personality. What is it that he likes? Krishna loves his devotees. Okay, let me make the devotees happy. So you're doing both simultaneously. But thinking like that, how to directly. So both are required. Association of devotees and a direct relationship with Krishna. Especially because when you're chanting the holy name, there's no devotees there. As in terms of you and your chanting. When you're chanting in the temple room, everybody else is doing their, it's your personal relationship with Krishna. That's your one-to-one time with Krishna. But if you have no relationship, what's going to happen? It's just dry chanting. So you have to develop that person. So when I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I'm thinking of Krishna. My personal relationship with him. My service to him. Him directly. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Hari Hari Bol. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.